Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight you're joined by Dill, and I'm very pleased to welcome a new voice into the Gen Next team.
Hello, Nelson. I'm Nelson.
Nelson, how are you?
I'm well. Tell you what, considering this weather.
Yeah, and you're not drastically impacted by the crappy weather?
No, I tell you what, I'm feeling sassy as ever, so I'm willing to impart that in the Australian public.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Now, if anyone doesn't know Nelson, Nelson, share a bit of information about yourself.
Tell you what, my parents got involved in Joy initially, and now there's a fabulous show on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. called Stand Up Straight that's hosted by Michelle Barber, my mum. And because of them, I kind of found a little way in to the Joy community, which is fantastic. And now, you know, lots of nice, youthful people would like to have me on board. And there you go.
And what better way to have you in a nice, youthful environment than Gen Next?
There you go.
Because listeners, this might come as a surprise for you, but I'm getting older and I'm getting to that age where youth is not what I am.
He doesn't look it.
Oh, thanks, Nelson. You can lie through your teeth, but we know the truth. Now, you may have remembered from last week there was Annalise. So Annalise and Nelson are looking to, they'll be taking over me when I exit.
Transcend the mortal coil? Is that
when I become an adult, I guess. You know, a big boy. Yeah, so I'm really excited to have you on board as well.
And getting Thank you. Happy to be here.
And getting you a more fresh, youthful vibe.
That's fresh and youthful. Bit of coriander in there.
Yeah, a bit of coriander. I'd go nuts over coriander. If you want to text in and join in the conversation at any point throughout tonight's show, feel free, because we have a jam-packed show. We're talking to the National Convener for the Australian Marriage Equality, Rodney Croom. We're talking about the government's challenge to same-sex marriage. And also, in a bit of a celebration news, Roz Ward is coming on the show to talk about the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria and celebrating their third year of success.
3 years. Where were you 3 years ago?
Where was I? Well, I was in Melbourne, probably recovering from a heavy weekend somewhere.
Tell you what, I was still in school. I could have used a bit of a safe school.
Safe school?
At the time, yeah.
What was your schooling experience like?
I mean, schooling experience itself was fantastic. I didn't get any peer harassment, but it would have been nice, you know, if there was a little bit more of a gay inclusive school where, you know, I was made to feel, rather than tolerated, celebrated, as it were. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, the coalition, they do wonders for making sure there is that visibility and challenge to discrimination. Also, later on, we've got two reps from Minus 18 coming on to talk about their updates.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it should be exciting. So if you want to join in the conversation, I know that a lot of people, especially from the trans and intersex communities, our chat with Rodney Croom does relate to the trans and intersex communities quite heavily, because as we know, the last minute amendment to the Marriage Act excluded gender diversity and mainly focused on same-sex marriage, which isn't exactly marriage equality. So hopefully Rodney can share some more light. Mm-hmm. We've got some stellar songs as well coming up in the playlist, but what did you get up to over the weekend, Nelson?
I had a really boring weekend, but a busy one at that. A very busy couple of days at work. Lots of people wanted to spend some money for spring racing this year last minute, so it was nice to see everyone, you know, getting dolled up in the Melbourne Central this weekend.
I got stuck trying to do my grocery shopping over the weekend, and there were people going to the races everywhere. Everywhere. Why is it that the races are synonymous for traffic shutting down?
I think it's public transport should actually, you know, relieve a lot of people, I would think. But I couldn't tell you, you know?
It just provokes my ire, if anything.
I find that I just fall asleep until Cup Day. That's the way it works, really, between now and Cup Day.
I can't believe how close, because Cup Day is next
the 5th, yeah.
Wow, and I can't believe, look, I'm only just fathoming onto the fact that we're in the end of October now.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the weather is the way, yeah, love talking about the weather. It's just such a weird October, you know? You expect it to be a little bit more humid, yeah, a little bit sunnier by now, and it's just everyone's kind of in that weird space.
I'm itching for a hot summer. I know that a lot of people aren't vibing on that. But
you're a northerner.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need the heat. I feel like a lizard. I feel like if there's no... Or a plant, even.
Like a banana.
Like a banana. There's no sunlight. There's no photosynthesis going on in this bot.
No peanut butter jelly time for this banana.
And with that, because this is one of the reasons why I need to hand over the reins to some more youth, because I have no idea what this kid is saying. Hey, stick around, because we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
14 minutes past 7, you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight you're joined by Dylan and Nelson.
Mahalo.
And we're pleased to introduce to the show Rodney Croom. Rodney, you're the national convener for the Australian Marriage Equality. And Australia has been talking heavily about same-sex marriage in the ACT. This has raised a few key concerns with our community as trans and intersex communities have voiced their concerns of not being included. Can you share with our listeners why same-sex marriage was introduced without the inclusion of trans and intersex communities, which completely, I guess, voids the essence of marriage equality?
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. I don't think it's right to say that trans and intersex people are all excluded. The overwhelming majority of trans and intersex people who identify as one sex or the other will be able to marry, if they can't marry under the federal law, will be able to marry under the territory law. So there we have a whole lot of people, trans and intersex people, who haven't been able to marry up until now, who will be able to marry under this new law. The issue is, for those trans, particularly intersex people, who don't wish to identify as male or female, but wish to identify as I or X, and not to be caught within the traditional gender binary, their concern is that now, if they're not able to marry under the Federal Act, because it's marriage between a man and a woman, they may not be able to marry under the Territory Act either, because it's about same-sex marriage.
Right.
We've received advice from senior constitutional barrister Brett Walker that it is possible for the ACT to amend its legislation to ensure that all trans and intersex people are able to marry, including those who don't want to identify in the traditional genders of male and female. And we've passed that advice on to the ACT government, and it's now in its hands to decide how it does that, what legislation it introduces to do that, if it does it in this bill or if it does it sort of across the board in all ACT legislation. But the basic line is that AME, Australian Marriage Equality, is completely supportive of legislation which includes all trans and intersex people.
Thank you for clearing that up. The challenge to same-sex marriage in the High Court, this has begun now, and lawyers for both the Commonwealth and the ACT governments agreed in a directions hearing to give each other a few more weeks to prepare their paperwork. What will happen to other marriage equality bills put forward if the current amendment is ruled out as unconstitutional?
Well, this brings us to another issue. The ACT law isn't quite like the other laws that have been put forward, say in Tasmania, New South Wales and South Australia. It has a problem, and that is that it attempts to use the definition of marriage that's in the Federal Marriage Act, in its own ACT, in the ACT legislation. And according, again, to senior constitutional barristers like Brett Walker and others, it simply can't do that. That's a fatal flaw, and that will be ruled unconstitutional. And what we're trying to do is convince the ACT to go down the same path as Tasmania, New South Wales, South Australia and the other states, and amend the Act so that it's as robust as possible and that it survives a High Court challenge.
Sorry to interject there, Rodney, but surely freedom of discrimination should be in the Australian Constitution. In reference to marriage inequality, I guess you could say, shouldn't discrimination already be in... freedom of discrimination should be heavily implied in our Constitution?
It should be, but it's not. There are no fundamental rights like that in the Australian Constitution. Australia is the only Western democracy that doesn't have a Bill of Rights.
I just have a query. The last amendment to the current constitution states that marriage means the union of a man and a woman to the exclusion of all others voluntarily entered into for life. Furthermore, certain unions are not marriages. A union solemnised in a foreign country between A, a man and another man, or B, a woman and another woman, must not be recognised as a marriage in Australia. I think that also begs the question that perhaps we're not ready as a society just for two people to be entered into a union regardless of their gender or lack thereof. Rodney, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, I think we are. Those amendments were made in 2004 under the Howard government, and there's been majority support for marriage equality in federal legislation and also for the states to move ahead since about 2006. The latest poll shows about 65% support for allowing any two adults to marry. So I think we're definitely ready. Just to go back to the question before, though, about whether the impact of the challenge against the ACT being successful, my point was going to be that unless the ACT amends its legislation to make it stronger, then the decision in the ACT case may not necessarily stop other states from moving forward because their legislation is different. If the ACT does amend its legislation and makes it stronger and still loses, yes, that will be a blow to or any state moving forward, and blow to the marriage equality movement.
Rodney, what's your opinion on the survival rate of the bill in the ACT to successfully pass without it breaching the current constitution?
Well, in its current state, it's pretty low.
Pretty low chance of survival, or pretty low chance of being knocked back?
Pretty low chance of survival.
Right, and
it really does need to be beefed up, made stronger, along the lines of the state bills that have been put forward, if it's going to succeed. I mean, I keep referring to Brett Walker, who is the, like I said, senior constitutional barrister in this country. Professor George Williams is a senior constitutional academic. Both have said that it's really fatally flawed, and the ACT government really needs to amend it. Only small amendments are required, and they won't change the substance of it, to ensure that it doesn't reference the Federal Marriage Act. That's the key point. There can't be any points of conflict or any points of inconsistency between the Territory Bill, Territory Act, and the Federal Marriage Act. We know from these experts that the Tasmanian, New South Wales, South Australian bills, they're all fine. There's no points of conflict. They would be most likely held to be constitutional. But the ACT Act has these points at which there's conflict. And so if the ACT government sort of rounds off those points, make sure they're not there, then it's got a very good chance of surviving a High Court challenge.
Just with regards to those points of conflict, what are they specifically? Do transgendered individuals fall into there, or what is that specifically?
No.
No, okay.
No. It's not to do with the transgender and intersex issues. The legal advice we've received from these experts is that all transgender and intersex people can be included within the Act without any points of conflict with the federal law. So, okay. No, it's not about gender diversity. That's not a constitutional issue, or it's not a constitutional point of conflict.
So it's when the Same-Sex Marriage Act, when it references the National Marriage Act, that's when it
references marriage in the Federal Marriage Act, that's the point of conflict.
So just out of curiosity, people who get married in the ACT, will that be recognised outside of the ACT if it were to pass?
If the law was to stand, not at the moment, because no other state nor the federal government recognise same-sex marriages.
Yeah.
If another state was to pass legislation, then it would be recognised there, and I've got no doubt that if the ACT law stands, then the other states will move ahead. I mean, it's just all reform about personal relationships in Australian history has taken exactly the same course that we're seeing now. Heterosexual marriages were all recognised at a state level before they were recognised federally. Heterosexual de facto relationships, same-sex de facto relationships, civil partnerships, all state by state before they went national. And we're seeing a similar course here with same-sex marriage. So I've got no doubt that other states will follow if the ACT law is upheld. And obviously the first cabs on that rank are New South Wales, Tasmania, South Australia.
Good. That is pretty uplifting to hear. But we do have another inquiry. When will the High Court resume the fight for same-sex marriage?
Well, the ne- next hearing is scheduled for the beginning of December, and around about the same time the couples will begin to marry in the ACT. So I guess you could look at it as a bit of a race. Yeah, the federal government obviously doesn't want them to begin to marry because it knows it will look very bad, and rightly so, if it is fighting in the High Court to undo the solemn vows of lifelong commitment made by these loving, committed couples in Canberra. So it doesn't want them to marry in the first place. But obviously it's very important that they do begin to marry so that the nation can see that when two people who aren't heterosexual, two men, two women, marry, the sky doesn't fall in.
Yeah.
That's a really important message to send to the rest of the nation. And so, yeah, I'm hopeful that couples will begin to marry before the High Court hearing is held. And Tony Abbott said to couples, you know, don't marry because your vows might not last this case. And my message is, no, if you've got any doubts, do marry. Because the importance of making those vows, that's more important, I think, than any High Court decision or whatever. Being able to make those legal vows is a really important moment in anyone's life. And I think those couples should take advantage of that opportunity.
Now, Rodney, we are almost out of time for this segment. We've also linked up the Australian Marriage Equality Facebook page onto Generation Next. So if you would like to know about more or you want to get further updates, feel free to jump on there. Rodney, thank you so much for coming on Generation Next.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, we've got more Gen Next coming up right after this.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, yeah.
Tonight you're joined by Dill and Nelson. We just got a text in saying, I have a lot of respect for Rodney Croom and his considered lobbying. Best of luck to him.
Yeah, sounds like a very nice guy texting in, guy or girl. And they also asked for thoughts on a gay costume. So, guys, who's your favourite Spice Girl?
Yeah, that's right, because Halloween is on its way. So, thoughts on a gay costume. Now, someone who has a lot of amazing thoughts is Roz Ward, the next guest on Generation Next tonight. And Roz is part of Safe Schools Coalition Victoria. And they, this coming Thursday, are celebrating 3 years of success. And Roz, thank you so much for coming on Generation Next again.
No worries. It's actually Friday, our birthday.
Oh, it's in Friday. On Friday. Yeah. That's what the press release does say. Yes, I read that for sure. Roz, how many schools have committed to joining the coalition so far?
We have 112 schools across Victoria, and some of them are primary schools, some secondary, some government, some independent, some religious, so all sorts of different schools, some in rural and regional areas, some in the city. So, yeah, pretty amazing.
And for anyone who isn't aware of what the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria does, they are an amazing organisation. They work with schools across the state to support sexual and gender diversity and challenge homophobic and transphobic bullying and discrimination.
Yeah. So, Roz, how far has the coalition reach been in providing professional development to school staff?
Well, that's something that keeps us very busy and something that has been really well taken up by schools. And I think part of the reason for that is that they've never really had the opportunity to kind of have these discussions before. So we've been really pleased with how popular that has been. And so far, we're up to over 4,000 school staff who've been to one of our professional development sessions in Victoria in the last 3 years. So
that's good. So
a lot of teachers.
Sorry.
It's a lot of teachers out there who know a bit more than they used to because of the Safe Schools Coalition.
That's good to hear. So what's the feedback from students after the staff have been trained been like?
It's been pretty good. We don't always get to know what the students are thinking afterwards, but we have had quite a lot of students tell us that things have noticeably changed, that their teachers are a lot more aware of homophobic language in the classroom and transphobic language. Mm. And that they're being a lot more proactive than they used to be. And I think partly that's just getting the message across about the impact that kind of behaviour can have on people. And so,
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Students notice.
Because it can be quite draining to a young person if they're if they're experiencing transphobic and homophobic bullying, because it wears down on their own self-esteem.
Yeah, I mean, it has massive impacts on people's health and well-being, on their ability to achieve to their potential at school, and even to just stay at school. And we know there's a much higher rate of students dropping out of school who've experienced homophobia or homophobic bullying or transphobia than students who haven't. It kind of seems obvious, but the research tells us that as well, and we know that the difference it can make to a school is really to improve the overall kind of performance of the school if all the students feel happy and safe.
Very true.
Now, Roz, in October 2010, that's when the Victorian and Safe Schools Coalition started challenging homophobia and transphobia discrimination. So nearly 3 years now, and what's so special about November the 1st? What can you tell us about that?
Well, we're just having a bit of a celebration and get together of members, teachers and students and people who've been involved in one way or another in the last 3 years, and we want to kind of recognise where we've come from and where we've got to, and still I guess that we've got a long way to go, but we're on that journey now in a way that we weren't, that we were only just starting 3 years ago, so we're kind of celebrating that. We also might have a little announcement from the Department of Education, although I can't talk about that at the moment, but we're also celebrating the fact that this is now being turned into a nationwide project across Australia.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, wow, that is awesome. So you kind of stole our fifth question there. So when did you get the approval for the coalition to move on to a national focus?
It was just before the federal election. We had an announcement from the Labor government that they wanted to put some money in to help us to build on the experiences of Safe Schools Coalition in Victoria to take it across Australia. And so the Foundation for Young Australians are going to be leading that work, and we're going to be supporting that and working in partnership with them to kind of share what we've achieved here and hopefully get similar things happening all around the country, which would be pretty amazing.
Is there anything similar that exists already in any sort of capacity?
Yeah, there is various projects and stuff. I know in New South Wales there was a pilot project called Proud Schools, which worked with 12 schools in New South Wales, and that ended. So they're looking to see what they can do there. I know there's been various projects in Tasmania, and there's some stuff happening out in WA. Mm-hmm. So there are some similar things, but nothing quite as developed as what we have in Victoria. And I think part of the advantage we have here is that the Department of Education has been really strongly supportive of what we're doing, and so has the Department of Health. So we're able to get into schools in a way that I think some other projects in other states have not really been given that kind of access. So
right,
we're lucky.
Roz, we're almost out of time. However, one recent interview that we had was with Chris Bush and Mike from the All of Us Project. What can you tell us about what's going on with the project at the moment?
Well, the All of Us Project is about getting voices of LGBT young people into classrooms in schools. And so at the moment with that project, we're still fundraising on allofus.net, which you can go to and have a look. We've raised over $5,500 so far, and we're looking to get $7,500. It's pretty amazing community support out there. Thank you to anyone who's given money. At the moment, we're in the process of shooting the third of those videos with a transgender young person in country Victoria, which is pretty amazing, her story. So, we're looking forward to completing those and getting them into school classrooms and starting the discussions with many more students out there.
It's such an amazing project because it's student-run, or at least quite youth-focused with the stars of the project. And is it... correct me if I'm wrong, but it'll be used as well in sex ed as well to kind of, I guess, open up doorways to lead that discussion in same-sex sex ed?
Yeah. What we've found in schools is that they want students to kind of have an understanding of what it might be like. And obviously we can't really make it so that there's a young LGBT person in every classroom in Victoria who was willing to tell their story, because that's a lot of pressure on people. And
yeah, all of that. A little confronting.
Yeah, and it might not be the best way to do it, but having these really well-produced videos with some tools and some discussion starters and some lesson plans hopefully will make it easier for teachers to have that conversation, and much more real for students to see real young Australian high school students talking about what it's like in a way that they've probably never seen before. So
yeah, that is absolutely amazing. Roz Ward, thank you so much for coming on tonight's show.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Oh, not a problem. I'd love to hear more about the All of Us project when we have some more updates.
Come along to the party on Friday.
Oh, maybe I will.
Yeah, great.
Hey, you're listening to Generation Next. We'll be back in a tick.
Generation Next. Love it.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
13 minutes to 8. You are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. We did get a message in before from Stephen. I think that's your dad. Two oldies popping away to that last track. I want Nelson to give a part A and part B of the question.
Very ambiguous as per usual. Thank you, Dad.
Well, things that are less ambiguous and vague. We've got two reps from Minus 18 in the studio. We've got Eamon and Jasmine. How are we?
We're good.
Yeah, doing pretty well.
Doing pretty well. That is fantastic. Now, look, Minus had a karaoke night recently. What can you tell us about the karaoke night?
The karaoke night went pretty well. We had just over 40 patrons in attendance, and everyone seemed to be having a pretty good time singing their hearts out.
Yeah. any highlights songs from the night? Because I can never go past, I don't know, there's something about it, Creep by Radiohead, that is like
actually,
my go-to.
Actually, wow. It's a good song to sway along to, I think, you know?
And you don't really, with Radiohead, you don't really need to know the words. You're like, yeah, that's my two cents.
You guys practically know the song now.
Well, yeah, Wrecking Ball got played quite a few times, as expected.
Any dance moves accompanying the Miley Cyrus songs?
Of course.
Of course.
Whipping out with some twerking. Yeah. Hannah from Little Fish and I, we've been known to twerk here in the studios.
Bet you have too. Yeah. Everyone seems to have a little bit of a cheeky dance in the breaks in the studios here.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
It's a joy institution.
When in doubt, crump it out.
Oh,
I like that, Jasmine. I'm going to use that. And she just did a delightful little demonstration as well here in the studio. Oh, and a hair flick too.
So you guys had a lovely karaoke night recently. What other social events you guys host? What's coming up for Minus?
I'm not on social committee, so I wouldn't be able to tell you off by heart.
The karaoke night was our last social event due to like exam period coming up and everyone being pretty busy. But we have the our December dance event is the next thing that's coming up, which is 17th of December. So.
Is that what? It's 17th of December. Is that standard as a Monday?
Tuesdays.
Tuesday
the 17th of December. It's going to be our summer party.
Because we've been like Gen Next team members have been invited to Minus events in the past, but they're generally on a Monday. So, well, some of the dance parties have been on Monday nights.
Not as far as I know. No. I'm pretty sure most of the time we do it on like a Tuesday night. And normally during the school holidays, but I think this one's just before like the last couple of exams.
Okay,
but,
nice.
But yeah, should be good.
Yeah, whereabouts is this dance party held?
It'll be at Reach, which is the Vault in
Collingwood.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my god, I used to love the Vault. Just quietly.
Me too.
Quietly on public radio.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's as quiet as we can get.
Great proximity to the Peel. Cough.
Now, on another note. We just talked to Roz Ward from the Safe Schools Coalition, and we were talking about the All of Us project. How has Minus 18 been tied in with the All of Us?
We're involved in it. I can tell probably a little bit about it. I'd say it's a program trying to get more involved in schools and sex ed programs and things like that. Eamon, do you want to fill in what you know?
I know that a couple of the members of Minus 18 they're pretty involved in like the making of it and like the fundraising for it, like Marco, I think Marco specifically.
Yeah, Marco seems to have his mind on lock with everything. All of the minors. Like, I wrote back to him once on an email, and then like he's so quick to respond, and I'm not that quick to get back to people, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry. You guys, hey, I was just so lost in your eyes, Dylan.
Oh, no. Yeah. Stop it, your parents are listening.
No, they're always listening, those parents. Now, you guys are also releasing your gender diverse stickers at the minute. What can you share about that? Because we were talking to Rodney Croom earlier, and it was all going to tie in nicely. What can you tell us?
You can get them at our next event to pick them up. Yeah.
And then those fabulous some people are trans and some people are intersex.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some people are trans and they're green, which is lovely, nice, bright colour. They stand out.
Very nice.
Just back to the question before, is there any sort of information that you guys give about, you know, to gay and lesbian youth about transgendered youth?
As much as we can. I mean, we want to set up more resources and make it more accessible.
Well, I think that's really good that Minus is moving into that light because I know in the past it was very much same-sex attracted, but there wasn't so much talk about gender diversity, which is great now that the group is moving to be more encompassing. Something that I was really, really interested in was the Minus online forum about for Year 7 self. Were you guys involved with that part of... the group, Eamon?
Eamon. I wasn't that involved in the making of the My Year 7 Self. I did go to the launch of the video, though, which is pretty cool. Yeah, that was...
Because there were so many people getting involved. For anyone who is scratching their heads at this, it was a online forum on Twitter where people could use the hashtag Year7Self. And the Minus Twitter account, they were asking questions like, what would you go back and what would you ask yourself? I thought it was really cool. I couldn't believe how many people were actually getting involved, and it was trending quite a bit. Did you get much feedback from the...
We did get a lot of feedback with that, and it's the same with the All of Us thing as well. There's the there's a way where we're just still like trying to get funding for it on Indiegogo, I think, can go and... we've had heaps and heaps of donations so far, but we're still a little bit short of our goals. So, I mean, if people feel like, help us out.
And I think that it's important for our community to really get involved with this because when I think about, like, for me, high school was a bit of a time ago. But when I think about high school, there was very minimal visibility. And Nelson, you've just left high school quite recently.
Oh, thanks. Make me feel like a toddler. No, look, it was a couple of years ago, but minus 18 did not reach the far eastern suburbs 2 years ago. But I know now they're getting better. A school that I went to is now involved, and the school, puts in the bulletin, we support minus 18 and gay youth services, which is nice to see.
Just we're nearly out of time for tonight, but why did the two of you join Minus 18?
I started attending Minus events when I was still working out what I was like, who I was attracted to, and like my identity. And then I kind of didn't want to leave. And as I became older, joining the crew and helping out with that aspect of it became a way for me to like remain part of a community that I loved.
For me, it was probably, I went to some of the events because I had friends involved in it and whatnot and on the committee and such. And becoming a part of it just sort of kept me involved. And I think it's a really good thing that we do, is trying to educate and share the message. And, everyone's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If people do want to get educated, how can they find out more info or even join the Minus 18 crew?
We have a lot of resources on our website, minus18.org. Getting involved with crew, there's stuff on our website about that as well.
Fantastic. They could even meet the people that we have in the studio here.
Sure.
Fabulous Jasmine and Eamon.
You guys could be pals. Hey, look, so sadly for tonight, though, we're out of time, but stick around because we've got Worldwide Wave coming up. And from what I know, I think they're talking about the United Nations. Should be interesting. But until next week, bye, guys.
See y'all.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.